Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. We are on Budget Weddings NYC for you, and I have been busily compiling gifts, suggestions for bride and grooms for their wedding night, which you can find on my website, Budget Weddings NYC for you. And I hope you've been watching my website like a hawk to get those suggestions. And, of course, you know that we have a special guest this afternoon. And before we speak to her, I also want to remind you that you can download my book, two of my books, actually, on Amazon via the Kindle. And the two books are New York City Budget Weddings, Elegant and Affordable, Creating Your New York City Wedding for Less Than $15,000. That's one book. And then the other book is Secrets from New York City Budget Weddings. And actually, it's 11-plus Secrets from New York City Budget Weddings. And those prices are $5.99 and $99 respectfully. And there might be a surprise at the end of this month. I haven't decided yet. Tonight, of course, is Midnight Meditation with Charlena, and at midnight, obviously, and on that channel. And initially, I was going to have something else, but in view of the recent unfortunate shootings, I may do another meditation on forgiveness. But I will be clearer, obviously, by midnight, but I'll be clearer by 9 o'clock as to what I'm going to do. In the meantime, thank you for joining me. And tonight, this afternoon, this evening, we are joined again by the wonderful, the beautiful, the quite intelligent and formidable in psychology and love and wedding efficiency. Our guest is Sacred Walker. And just to remind you about a little bit about her story, she's quite talented, and she works with Educational Special Health and Wellness Department. She coordinates the Callan Lords Health Outreach to Teens, also known as HOT, with two T's, medical team, which visits at the Hedrick Martin Institute. But we're not talking to her about that tonight. We're talking about love. And love is her religion, actually. I remember reading that on her LinkedIn page, actually. And so we're talking to her about wedding efficiency as she presides over your wedding ceremony, whether you are from the LGBTQ community or from any other community. She is a registered interfaith marriage officiant, And you may find her information on Kumba Holistic Healing Project or www.khht.org. And she offers consulting services, which offer holistic coaching to couples regarding the order of service and vows. She also offers interfaith ministerial leadership, specializes in supporting and non-traditional weddings. And I already told you LGBTQ, Afrocentric, spiritually oriented, and it doesn't have to be religious. And she will meet your unique needs. She also offers non-dogmatic framework, we like that, which includes compassion, organization, and modeling love. I did tell you she's love is her religion. Honoring all traditions that honor love, as I said. And she works with couples, counsels collaboratively to support couples holistically, and sacred supports couples in honoring the spirit of their union in fun and innovative ways. And we're going to talk to her about what that means, fun and innovative ways. So please welcome Sacred Walker. Her many accomplishments, I assure you, she is a young woman, but she is formidable in her accomplishments. So, Sacred, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Warm welcome. I feel honored to be speaking with you as a fellow pioneering woman, so that's wonderful.
Terrific. Thank you. So now I have a whole batch of new questions to ask you, and some that we'll kind of review just so people get a taste of who you are. And I also want to say to everyone who's listening that if you wanted a full, even though that might sound like a full bio of Sacred's accomplishments, you can also listen to our first interview, which was 2 weeks ago. So this is the second part of her interview. So now, I'm going to just jump right in. One of the things that I've noticed in terms of both your website and also in your introduction, the introduction I just did, but also in your LinkedIn information, I noticed that you said love is your religion. Can you tell us what that means to you?
Yes, of course. And I did want to clarify that I do coordinate the medical care needs of the young people that come more through integrative and holistic supportive counseling. And I do feel like that does speak to the way that I understand embodied love, and that definitely is the way that I hope to and intend to lead the team of Kumba Health in living the principles that we want to bring to organizations, universities, religious institutions, and medical centers. And what that means is that it's a process, it's a journey, it's a faith walk of saying yes to spirit and having an understanding that each being, whether it be human being, whether it be other forms of beings, are all interconnected. And I personally believe that every spiritual tradition has a sense of oneness and has a sense of certain core principles, and one of them is love. And whether it be the major religions or spiritual traditions, that for me means that if I can live the principles of 1 Corinthians 13, or if I can live the principles of the Buddha's idea of wisdom and discovering the Buddha within, of honoring the self in someone else, or if I can, honor the tradition of, Rastafari that believes in the oneness of, that I see myself and I honor the spirit in you, and honoring African traditions in that. If I can honor Yoruba traditions that believe in, birthing love and love having a name and an energy and a divine feminine and masculine balance, if I can move and find common streamlines in that, then that is just as powerful for me and just as potent as handing someone a scripture from any one of those traditions to teach mm-hmm. them about it. Is that if I can continue to deepen my practice and understand the ways that both the challenges that I've overcome and the joys that I've been strengthened by from my ancestors have informed me that those are powerful narratives. For me, anyway, the same way that there are powerful narratives that have been written into books like the Bible and the Quran and the Bhagavad mm-hmm. Gita, etc. So that's what it is for me, is that it's to live these universal principles and show up in a way, even when we fall short, mm-hmm. even when we react versus respond, et cetera, that, you know, the mutual seeing and owning and understanding is loving. So that's what that means for me.
Okay, terrific. That's great. Actually, you've given me an idea in terms of my meditation tonight. And it's too bad that you are an early bird, because I would bet that you would give a really terrific meditation. Some other time.
Yes, absolutely. And who knows, maybe during something that's seasonal where the sun sets later, maybe like a summer solstice meditation or something like that might be more my my style.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We can keep that open
I
as
will.
An option. Let's you know, keep tinkering on it.
That sounds wonderful. I will do that, definitely.
Okay.
In fact, I'm writing it down now. Sacred is
excellent.
Doing.
So okay,
I'm going to
hold you
to that.
Let's revisit it. As long as I'm not doing a retreat around the summer solstice, then that's something
okay.
that I would be open to.
Okay, terrific. Well, now you mentioned one of my other questions, retreats. Do you have retreats for engaged couples? And I don't mean just a pair, not just like a one pair, but for engaged couples, more maybe, I don't know, 5 to 10 couples? Have you ever thought of that?
That's a really beautiful intention. I do believe in the power of manifestation. And so let's mm-hmm. just call that into the universe. If there will be couples that will be in need of that. I'm just really clear that we want to move from a place of providing community what they need. And so
mm-hmm.
far I haven't had enough couples approach me about that. I've more so had couples approach me about being excited for having an Afrocentric oriented person or an interfaith person, et cetera. But I definitely call that in. I would love to have a retreat both for individuals who
mm-hmm.
are uncoupled around love and exploring and unpacking and dancing into that space. That's something that I've had active dialogue about, and also having one for married couples who can both bring knowledge to those who've been coupled for years, and also elder couples who can bring knowledge to newlyweds. So I think that would be a wonderful intention.
Impressive.
Yeah, that would be a wonderful intention.
It would be really
so
great.
I will tell you that I've had, definitely,
because I've had that idea for a while to have a retreat for the engaged couples, but I love that idea of elder married and even mid-married speaking forth and helping to inform the newlyweds or the engaged couple of what is coming, what might come, what can come,
mm-hmm.
all of the possibilities. That's a great idea. So we're going to speak it into, we've spoken it into
that's
the
right.
universe that is coming forth.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Absolutely.
I would love to assist you in that. I'll say that.
Oh, absolutely.
Well.
And why don't, you know, I would say that if there are couples that are listening to this blog, I think that, you know, the power of community and being Afrocentric is we recognize that it takes a village. And the village also has to say, you know, you all who are able to facilitate these kinds of spaces, this is what we need. So I definitely welcome you know, individuals who are listening who may want this to either contact Charlena or contact me at 929-245-2814 and express that need. And I think if we have enough community investment, that'll also help to say, wow, this is something that if we created the space for, people would follow through and come to, because we want to make sure that, you know, we carve out time and create things for people who will want to follow through with it.
I love that. I love that. Thank you. Now, we spoke a little bit, or no, we actually went in depth, but I'm going to just revisit this. Are there specific things that a lot of the couples that you've spoken to, either as a wedding officiant for their weddings or just that they've asked you questions about what your gifts are and what you can bring to their ceremony? Are there rituals, for instance, that you include, something that I read on LinkedIn, it said that you bring fun and innovation to wedding ceremonies. So if you could speak a little bit on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it really depends on the couple and what their interests are and how much they're willing to stretch their comfort level, I would say, and what they're looking for in particular. But I think that it really just depends on also what their cultural backgrounds are, et cetera. So that definitely comes into play, too, and what their spiritual traditions are. But, you know, something that we talked about in the last interview was how do we nurture the spirit of a relationship? And so just as much of the commitment and financial aspects of a marriage so much come into play with just the practical side, there's also the concern that I've heard about keeping the passion and the fire alive. And I think that there can be something really beautiful about creating this ritual with couples that connects to how do you incorporate in the pre-sessions a ritual, even if it's something that they decide to do on their own, about keeping, I would say, calling the like sacred fire in their connection alongside the daily routine of just maintaining and supporting and sustaining the healthy communication and the financial sustainability and the building possibly a family, if that's what they're looking for, that a relationship definitely deserves. And so something that has come up is, you know, sometimes I'll have a couple write each other a love letter, and then I'll send it to them right before their marriage if they're interested in that, or if they are a couple that culturally or spiritually is one that appreciates movement and dance, and they want to figure out a way to incorporate certain traditions into their marriage, then they might also want to incorporate that into the ceremony as well. So I feel like I first begin with it being about them and asking questions about what they're looking to build, what they love about each other, what brought them together, and how they plan to support the spirit and the soul of their relationship. And in that, unpack whether they are open to creativity or not, because that's fine too, right? And what
right.
that could
yeah,
look
exactly.
like. And then if we can tease that out a little bit more, then it might be something where, you know, a couple or one, you know, fiance may say, oh my goodness, one of the things that I fell in love with, you know, her or him for was how he slow danced with me the first night that we met, and it totally rocked my world. And maybe the slow dance is something that can be incorporated even leading up to the wedding date, right? We want to, like, really nurture and keep that sacred fire alive. And what thing can be done to continue to maintain that energy about not just what that, for example, first dance meant, but what heart connection, or what affirmation was that about? Was that also connected to the first dance with the father, or what have you, just depending on what the couple needs? So taking some time to explore and unpack that, I think, is really, really beautiful, and it can be a way to bring a joy and a lightness to a process that can feel very systematic, with all the things that need to get done to bring families together and the joining of families and the stresses sometimes that come with that. I find that that unpacking keeps a joy and a lightness and a perspective about, oh, yes, this is at the end of the day about me marrying the person that I truly, truly, deeply feel my soul has been brought to, in addition to coordinating seating arrangements and flower bouquets, et cetera, right?
Right, so. Exactly. I actually touch a lot of this in my book, and then I, in the, even before I get into the whole planning of the wedding, I talk about staying connected, because that can get left behind when people start to plan a wedding and do the nuts and bolts of getting that wedding and that big day planned. They will forget about being sensitive to their fiancé. They'll forget about taking that time apart to reacquaint themselves with that first moment, that first burst of love. And I touch on that just for about a chapter, I guess, and ways of keeping that love alive. So you are reading my mind. Have you read my book?
Great minds think alike.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to be a little bit off track. Enough. Here you are in the midst of wedding efficiency, and we're talking about love. Is there a love in your life at this moment?
Can you hear me clearly? I apologize for any kind of background noise that's getting picked up. So to answer your question, that gets asked of me often, and that's actually one of the reasons why I have taken real deep time to understand what love is, because I've actually been committed to spirit and committed to God in a really deep way for quite some time, and I'm just now in a journey in my life where I'm open to really connecting and finding and calling in that soulmate. So because I am not married, I have not ventured into the world of running couples retreats in a deeper way, because I also feel like there's something about being able to speak from experience, and that's not an experience that I move from in this current moment. But I also believe in the power of manifestation, and then I trust that the same God that has brought all these beautiful couples together that are celebrating their love will provide me the same sense of deep connection. But I've also recognized that for me, having come up in a family that has had some challenges around various forms of abuse, I've just made a decision that before I enter into marriage, I really want to do some personal soul work so that I can show up differently in my both my marriage and also in my family, in the new family that I want to call in.
That's understandable. That's quite understandable.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. It's actually, I really celebrate it. I'm like, when I find the rock and love of my life, wonderful. But in the meantime, I'm the rock and love of my life.
And actually, even when you find the rock and love of your life, you still have to have that time for yourself. Well, you still have
Absolutely.
To be your rock and love anyway.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that I've created the foundation now.
Yes. I'm glad that I've created the practice now so that I can know what that looks like when I do step into it.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because without that, you know, it's like going into saving someone in a burning fire, in a building, or in a flare. Mm-hmm. I'll actually use a plane. You have to be able to breathe, actually, before you can save anyone else. So So all right. Well, we're calling forth that right and perfect person to you now. So whenever you are ready, I will say it that
Thank
way.
You.
And so
you.
It is. You're quite welcome. Now, I also saw that you were, actually, I'm going to ask that next, but let me ask you this. Do you ever have joint partnerships and special pricing packages for weddings? For instance, do you do joint partnerships with photographers or DJs or pastry chefs or wedding planners, or do you are you strictly the wedding officiant and everything, all of that encompasses?
I am open to that possibility of doing joint partnerships. Right now, the only joint partnership that I do is with the couple current marriage counselor. Should the couple mm-hmm. come in having been meeting with someone on an ongoing basis already, and the couple also have that same person that will follow up with them ongoing after the marriage itself is officiated. So I will mm-hmm. focus more so on the rituals that are created, the coordination of programming, making sure everything is in order, making sure that they feel loved and supported and the spirit of the relationship is being held throughout the process, making sure that the family is honored in the process, et cetera. So I focus more on that, and the deeper ongoing therapeutic work can be done collaboratively with someone who will make sure that wherever that person is in this country, you know, they might be here, they might be out of state, that they'll get that mm-hmm. paperwork. So that's kind of more so what I've done collaboratively. I'm open to creative ventures because I'm also moving in the space of being the founder of Kumba Health and executive managing and is working and doing presentations about reclaiming embodied love and looking at how do we bring these principles into not only the religious institutions but also medical institutions. I've had to pull back on how many weddings I can officiate, so I'm very selective. It's more through mm-hmm. self-referral or if someone calls and says or emails and says I'm interested, then we can check to see if, you know, we're both on the same page. So I haven't ventured out yet into doing deeper partnerships because the kind mm-hmm. of time to cultivate those relationships is not the kind of time that I can invest in. But if a couple comes to me and says we also have photographers and we also have this, that, and a third, then absolutely, I'm very much about being in conversation, but they would have to have those things in place already.
I see. Okay. Well, in future. So now, that brings me to a question. You have had this very, very specific background in terms of psychology and counseling and a tinge into the medical field, while also talking with the youth. What about that very background brought you to wedding efficiency? And then I'll ask you a second question, what is it that you most enjoy about the wedding ceremony and why?
I think it can be boiled down really simply to me to restoring love in areas of the, particularly the, for me, the Black family, whether it's mm-hmm. LGBTQ or heterosexual, like that for me mm-hmm. is kind of at the core. And then, of course, Mark working with many different culturally diverse groups, but that mm-hmm. was the connecting factor for me. So in whether it being working with young people and running groups about or called radical love, like how do we have a stronger working relationship with either our community or walk into a medical office feeling informed and feeling like my body is worthy of love and respect, and so I have the right to ask questions about my GYN, I have the right to ask questions of my primary care doctor because my body is worthy of those things, because my womb is sacred, so I can move from the place of saying, please treat my body as a sacred being. Like, I think that those all come from the same place of love, just as much as this place of saying, you know, I want to bring a couple together who is honoring the loving being that they're in connection to and moving from that place of now they're becoming a stronger unit together. So it, for me, it all interconnects. And because I have a strong sense of ancestors guiding choices and ancestors mm-hmm. watching over us. I do believe that our ancestors who've historically had broken families celebrate every time either a young person makes a really powerful choice because they're our future, just as much as they celebrate two people coming together who love one another, who ancestors have called them forth. That's different, I think, than maybe an unhealthy connection that's brought together under the least ideal circumstances. But mm-hmm. I do feel as though the ones that are about productivity and value and mutual respect is a historical celebration. So that's why psychology for me is about healing just as much as marriage efficiency is.
Oh, okay. All right. And I'm sorry, I had a thought in the midst of it, and I said, I need to listen to you because it was very deep. It was, and I don't usually use the word deep, but you were getting to the heart of the matter. Oh, I know what it was. It's because I believe this, that we as African Americans, our Afro ancestors are in need of more love all around, and it's one of the things that can actually break anybody if there is a lack of love. And that's a lot of times I feel that is why people will go forth and do horrendous things that you would, for instance, the shootings in Portland, Oregon, the shootings at Columbine, the shootings that are even the 9/11, all of the horrific things that you can think of in the world are because of the person essentially is feeling a lack of love, a lack of love. And I don't mean the small L, I mean as in the big L, a lack of love from their family, but also ultimately from the Creator. And it's not that the Creator has shunned them, but they have shut themselves off from the Creator. That's my belief.
That hit the nail on the head. Well said.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, we actually ran out of time, but we're still recording. So I wanted to ask you two more questions. One, give us your telephone number again as to where we can reach you. And this will be on my website, but I do want you to say it again.
Okay. Is that, do you want me to give it to you now or wait for the second question?
Yes. Yes, please. No. I want the audience to be able to hear where they can reach you.
Okay. That number is, hold on 1 second. Mm-hmm. I was trying to block out the background. So it is 929-245-2814, 929-245-2814.
Okay, terrific. And then my last question, because I saw this, on your LinkedIn account. It says that did you go to or did you organize the first annual LGBTQ People of Color Scholars Summit at John Jay College this past
week? Okay. Right. So I'm working with the team on collaborating something for the future, but I went to it as a member, the LGBTQ People of Color Scholar, and so now I'm a LGBTQ People of Color Scholar. So that's one of the many organizations that I'm connected to and I feel very honored by. And if we can figure out a ways of incorporating some of those principles for members of the LGBTQ Scholars Conference is something that is in the works now, that as it's rolled out in time, I definitely will bring it back around to you for sure.
Oh, okay, terrific. So at this point, you don't know if John Jay again or if it's going to be in April or for 2016? Hello? Oh, I think I lost my feed. I apologize.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
And, yes, I think you were asking me if it's going to be at John Jay again in April. I'm not clear, but the president of the Center for Lesbian and Gay Studies, CUNY Grad Center, and also he's also the president of the Association of Asian Pacific Islanders, is the person who is the president of the LGBTQ Scholars, and so he would be Kevin Nadal. He would be the best person to speak to about that. I'm more so a member that's looking to see how I can, through Kumba Health, build upon the legacy that is being created, but that was the first time they've created it, and so, you know, that wouldn't be something that I can speak to, but if you Google Dr. Kevin, N-A-D-A-L, then he would be a good person to follow up with about that.
Oh, okay, great, terrific. Alrighty. So, Sacred, wonderful, wonderful talking to you again. It's been just amazing. In fact, I love talking to you, and I'm sure my audience loves hearing you speak. And you will be invited on again, and I'm gonna we will revisit the summer solstice. But I think that's a go. Actually, I like that. And we've already called forth two powerful intentions, both for couples at large, and then also for you. And I foresee them coming to fruition. So thank you again.
Beautiful. Yes, same here. And thank you, community, for being a part of this. It's been wonderful. Thank you all for your support.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and let's be in touch.
Yes, definitely. Thank you again, Sacred. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.